You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to United Hour, your one-stop shop for all things Manchester United. I'm your host, Nick.
I'm Imran.
And I'm Ashwin.
Yeah, we've actually got three of us here, all of a sudden convening for an impromptu podcast. We do apologise for not getting a podcast out after the last game, but with the quick turnaround in all these games nowadays, getting things edited and out is not always easy. Plus, myself and Imran were at the match last night, right, Imran?
Yep.
And yeah, I didn't get back till about midnight, so there was no chance of recording after that. But yeah, we're recording this the day after in the afternoon. We will obviously be focusing on that Spurs game. We drill mentioned Newcastle, and there was even Omonia since we last kind of recorded. But I mean, I was very happy after this performance last night. I mean, it's got to be the best performance of the season, best performance under Ten Hag. I wasn't feeling that confident before this game, I have to say. And there was kind of that feeling around a lot of people at Old Trafford. You know, Eriksen didn't make the lineup. We'd come off not scoring against Newcastle, only getting a late goal to kind of win against Omonia. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know how you were feeling pre-match, Imran.
Yeah, I wasn't that confident either. Not that I'm ever that confident about United.
Well, yeah,
but
exactly. You never are. You never are.
I mean, we had a frustrating time against Newcastle, and I thought that might continue, especially because Spurs play a similar kind of football to Newcastle, and they aim to frustrate, aim to sit back, aim to catch us on the counter, and just, you know, Conte ball tactics of time wasting, doing all that shit. So I was expecting another game similar to the Newcastle game, but thankfully it was nothing like that.
No, exactly, and I don't know, Ashwin, do you put this more down to how good we were or how poor Spurs were?
Both. It just felt like they were so passive, and that actually played into what we were trying to do. It seemed like we were trying to press right from the start, so that definitely helped. Our build-up play was really good, but we also, again, Spurs were, they just sat off us so much that it wasn't like we were under pressure very often. So I think it was a little bit of both, but you could, because of how passive Spurs were, I think you could see very clearly, like, what the long-term vision is for what he wants us to be doing week in, week out, every match consistently. I don't think we're at the point where, you know, we saw it with Newcastle, right? They came and they were willing to press higher against us and take chances, and we struggled a bit, especially early in that match. So there's still work to be done, but, I mean, yesterday was great. It was probably the most dominant victory we've had in a few years, and, you know, we've had teams be passive against us before and really struggle to break them down or even just control them and also keep it tight at the back, you know, not concede a bunch of counterattacking opportunities. So the fact that we were able to dominate in possession, create chances, and I mean, Spurs barely created anything. That definitely just speaks volumes about how far we've come along early under Ten Hag.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Spurs were down at 0.6 XG. I was actually surprised that we were only at 1.7. I was expecting it to look a lot higher than that because we had so many chances. There was, you know, several big saves. There actually isn't that big a difference between the XG for Spurs and Newcastle. So it does show you that XG doesn't always kind of paint the right picture of how these games go. I mean, Newcastle was 1.4 versus 0.8, whereas this Tottenham game, we're at 1.7 versus 0.6. I mean, both times we've obviously kept the opposition to not many chances. But yeah, I did expect to be looking a lot higher than that after this Spurs game. I thought, you know, we were worthy of maybe even another couple of goals in this game.
Yeah, I think if we'd won 3 or 4, I don't think that would have been too flattering at all. But Spurs were really shit. Like, really, really shit. They were the worst team to come to Old Trafford by far this season. I don't know how they're third. Could barely pass to each other. Bissouma, who I quite rate, was appalling in the middle of the park. All the centre-backs had a terrible game. Perisic just couldn't deal with Dalot at all. It was they were all awful. I thought Harry Kane tried his best to feed off scraps, but even that was an impossible task. Yeah, they were really shit.
Was Højbjerg started, and I think remember him doing one thing. Like, I remember hearing his name once or twice, and that was it, the entire match.
Yeah, afterwards we were walking down, said, did Højbjerg start? Yeah, he did. And like, they were awful. But I mean, we made them look awful as well by how good we were. Like, no, let's not take anything away from us. Like, yes, they can be awful, but then we can match teams in their awfulness at times. We didn't yesterday. We were intense, lively, energetic for the most part, and yeah, having lots of shots. And to be fair, a lot of them were from outside the box, probably why the XG was quite low. But they were actually decent shots from outside the box. Yeah, some of them were a bit wild, but like generally you had the Casemiro shot that was good. Anthony hit the post. Fred forced a save. Bruno had that save from the free kick. So, you know, there were some good shots from outside the box. And then we obviously did create chances in the box as well for Rashford.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, Lloris made several good saves, especially two or three from Rashford. There was one in the corner as well. So, like I said, I'm surprised the XG is as low as that. But yeah, I know there was probably only a couple from Rashford, which you probably thought he could have done better with. But I don't know whether you put that down to great saves or Rashford just being slightly off.
The last one I did. So the first one, I think he probably should score. The first chance in the first half.
In the first half, yeah.
He probably needs to do better with that one. Could even take it close to goal. The second one where he kind of controlled it on his back, obviously very intentionally, and then danced around a bit. I thought like he did as well with that as he could. Yeah, probably could have tried to roof it, but he created it all himself and it was with his weak foot. Fair enough. And then the last one I think is a terrific save from Lloris. And again, maybe he should score, but that is a genuinely quality save from Lloris.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. That last save was outstanding. And, you know, like you were in the stadium, you don't always appreciate these things until you see some of the highlights. You know, in the stadium, you get an idea. And sometimes you can see extra bits about where players are, where players are running. But things like that on actual saves and things, we don't actually always get to see till afterwards. But yeah, we had 28 shots, which was the most by any side in any Premier League game this season, which you really were not expecting in a game against Tottenham. And, you know, there was articles coming up just before this game about our Tottenham title challengers, that, you know, Conte's men are coming in like dark in the shadows, whereas everybody's focused on City and Arsenal. But yeah, they didn't look anywhere near that in this game. And yeah, I was like, surprised how bad they were, you know, as good as we were as well. But yeah, look, let's see where we go then. And next we go straight on. I mean, we will talk about it more towards the end of the show, but this week has been crazy. 6 days. Newcastle, Spurs, and then Chelsea. I was even saying before this, if we come out with 3 draws, maybe we're doing all right. So we're already ahead of that with a win and a draw on the table. And no goals conceded either. It's just been kind of finishing off. That was our big problem in the 2 games before this. Ammonia as well. You know, we should mention in that we were at XG of something like 4 and only just came out with a last-minute goal. So yeah, our finishing recently has been a problem. And yeah, I know there's been a lot of headlines given to it. I don't want to talk about it so much, but we obviously have to mention that Ronaldo did not start this game. That was the big difference in the kind of lineup compared to Newcastle, where we didn't end up scoring and didn't end up making as many kind of clear chances either. Whereas, yeah, Rashford starts up front. And I think certainly by now, surely everybody must be on board in seeing the vast difference in how we play when Ronaldo starts and when he doesn't.
Well, look at the difference in how what the only difference, like you mentioned, was that Ronaldo didn't play and magically Bruno and Fred were much better. I don't think that's a coincidence. Like, there's he doesn't look at the spaces that Fred was in yesterday. He was constantly occupying like a center forward space, which is what Ten Hag wants him to do, right? And he has Rashford drifting out wide a little bit. Ronaldo doesn't do that. He just constantly drops deep to get possession, but he does nothing with it. I just think that, and our pressing yesterday was the best it's been. I mean, especially the last 15, 20 minutes of that match, Spurs couldn't get out at all. They could not get into our attacking third even a little bit. And I don't think that's possible under Ronaldo. I agree. It's not even worth talking about because anybody who still thinks he deserves to play is just a moron. He's been awful. His attitude is awful. If he can't see, like, if he can't accept that he's 37 years old and he needs to be a rotation player at best at this point, then that's his problem. It's not anybody else's but his. I have zero interest in watching him play again unless it's for like 10 minutes at the end of a match. And even in those instances, he's come in and done nothing. In the Newcastle match, you could see as soon as he went off, our play improved. We created more chances. And yeah, Fred should score. Rashford should score. We should win that match. But the fact is, we didn't even create those type of openings. We didn't press. We didn't do any of that for the, 70 minutes that he was on. And then the last 20 minutes, all of a sudden, you know, you again see the team play more effectively, press more effectively, deny chances more effectively. It's too obvious at this point. And, you know, it's not, again, like you mentioned, it's really not worth discussing because it's just so transparent what's happening. And if you can't accept that, then, you know, maybe this isn't the sport for you.
Well, I mean, one person who doesn't seem to have accepted it is Ronaldo. I mean, he's walked off the pitch, doesn't seem too happy about not getting on there at all. I mean, I know Imran, I remember having this conversation with you last season where, you know, there was this debate all season long about some people were saying, where would we be without Ronaldo's goals last season? And he obviously scored a shitload of goals. And in fact, in this game last season, he scored a hat trick. And Conte said before the game, we didn't lose to Manchester United last season. We lost to Ronaldo. And I do see where he was coming. You know, apart from those kind of goals, we didn't have much. But there was this big discussion amongst a lot of fans about was Ronaldo's goals worth it? Or other people were saying, look, he's scoring those goals, but he's taken away from the rest of the team. And now, yeah, I think we can see a lot more of that this season when you see the difference between him coming in and out. But yeah, as I say, he doesn't seem willing to accept this. He doesn't seem willing to accept being a squad player, that he might come in from the bench. So yeah, I don't know. Where do we go with Ronaldo from here now?
I mean, I think Ten Hag's probably counting down the days until he can not have a Ronaldo problem. I think it just must be frustrating for him. You know, your team have won 2-0, played the best football we've played all season, and the news is about Ronaldo leaving the bench at 89 minutes, all about him again. And it's just, I mean, must be just very irritating for him. It's irritating for us, I feel like. We should be talking about great
performance
on the pitch.
Yeah, I don't want to focus on it too much, but we obviously have to give a quick
What we'll say quickly on what you've just said is, look, last season we weren't really a team either. If you look at us under Ten Hag and Solskjaer, we didn't really have an identity. We weren't working well as a team. We didn't really have a purpose. There was no coherent football going on. And so, yeah, we were reliant on Ronaldo because he was our star man up front, having to make things happen because, you know, he could do that. But now we're actually a team with a purpose and an identity, and he doesn't fit that identity. And now we're seeing, actually, yeah, we are better off without Ronaldo now. That might not have been the case last season because we were a different team last season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also just like, he's not even trying to be part of that identity, right? That's the frustrating part, because I can understand he's 37 years old, so, like, you know, you can try and it just not come off, or, you know, you struggle with elements of it. He's just not even trying, and, you know, like, part of that is yesterday's match. Like, he's upset that he didn't come on. Meanwhile, like, that's, I think we all agree that was, at least for this season, that was clearly the best performance we've put in. You know, I think that's crazy, and obviously it didn't happen and he left late on, but, like, you know, what if there was an injury? Like, what if Rashford got hurt? You know, you would put Ronaldo on probably. So
that's exactly why, you know, Ronaldo started that Newcastle game. In that game, we were, all of a sudden, the injuries were mounting up. We had a lot of young players on the bench. And yeah, Ronaldo was the best option for that game. You know, he is still part of our squad and we are light up front anyway, where we know that Martial has barely featured all year. And even with Martial, with Ronaldo, we were still kind of looking at being pretty light in the striker position. You know, for me in the summer, it was the one position that I thought we needed to strengthen that we didn't. So it's already an area that's a problem for us. So yeah, he can still do his bit for us. And I did feel like a few weeks ago, I kind of thought that maybe he was accepting his place as being part of the squad, as, you know, he looked happy when we were doing well. But I don't know. Maybe yesterday, the fact that we played so well without him was that kind of big message to him that, listen, we are better off without you.
Light bulb moment. but let's talk about how good we were. Come on.
Yeah, Ronaldo. Exactly. Let's go back. I think an interesting actually one on this is because, I've seen, look at all the post-match stuff. I think Bruno got man of the match on the night. I think he also got it on manunited.com. But I thought there was at least four or five players who could have been in contention for man of the match yesterday. I mean, Oshwin, I don't know if you had a particular pick out for your star yesterday.
I thought Fred was the man of the match.
Agreed.
I thought he should have had an assist. He maybe should have had a second assist. The ball was a little bit behind Rashford in the air, but I also think Rashford just is bad in the air and he misjudged it. He had a goal, obviously, which, fortunate goal, but the fact he kept putting himself in positions, he kept making runs. He was a monster pressing the ball. I don't even know. I think at the end of the match, I'm not sure. I had some very totally legal stream that I was watching it on. I don't know who the commentator was, but it was like the last 2-3 minutes. And I think Fred, he wanted to play Rashford in, but literally couldn't do it fast enough before Rashford got on offside. And the commentator was just saying, Fred is... He looks like he's absolutely shattered because he's run himself into the ground. And that's what he did. He ran himself into the ground yesterday. I thought he was fantastic. He had some really nice turns, actually, around midfield to get in behind to break the lines. He was great. I have no problem with Bruno being man of the match. He was great, too. Like you mentioned, there are four or five people that you could have gone with and I would have been totally fine with. But I just thought Fred was fantastic. He was everywhere. He was literally everywhere. There was, I think, one of the saves that Lloris made, it came from Fred counter-pressing, winning the ball high, and Rashford immediately being able to get into the box. So I thought he was great.
Well, that move started with him nutmegging a player as well, lest we forget.
Yep. And I just thought, I think we've talked about this. I talked about this on a previous pod, but I think I mentioned Eriksen as the third midfielder instead of Bruno, but the idea of just having Casemiro with Fred and then a third midfielder, because I think Bruno is actually playing a lot more like an actual midfielder now instead of just trying to spam hero ball and trying to create chances out of nothing. But I really like how that midfield is, and I like having Fred, when he's running around like a crazy person, but he's not supposed to be your defensive pivot, it works out a lot better. So having Casemiro back there and then just kind of having, allowing Fred to do Fred things, pretty good. I liked it. And I'll be honest, I thought he got way too much criticism after Newcastle. Did he have a great game? No, but I thought he got way too much criticism of the match. And again, as soon as Ronaldo goes off, things happen for various players. So I was happy for him. But you could have gone Bruno. I think you could have gone Casemiro, who was excellent. And I thought Shaw was fantastic also in this match.
What I would say about Fred is I thought he was pretty bad against Newcastle, to be fair. But I thought it was dreadful, actually, especially on the ball. But he always needs a couple of games to get into the swing of things, it seems. Fred is never a person you can just throw into a game and he'll play straight away. He needs to run a game. He showed that last season. And after this, yesterday, he was magnificent, I thought. I agree with you, man. Actually, everything he said, yeah. And just the turnaround as well, when his name gets read out, we sat in the ground and everyone's saying, oh, not Fred again. Why is Fred playing? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. He's still a much maligned player. There's a lot of groans. But yeah.
But then by the 75th minute, we're all chanting his name and everyone's genuinely saying, give the ball to Fred. I don't think I've genuinely heard the Stretford end all be like, give the ball to Fred now. Look at him, give it to him, because he was just brilliant. So yeah, I thought he was excellent.
He's got pretty tremendous mental strength, I think, because I'm sure he knows that there is all of this criticism about him, right? But he never really even when he's in bad form and he's struggling, he never shies away from the ball, which is a good or bad thing. But it's also just shows that he has that character about him that he's willing to put himself in those positions.
And I agree with you on the Luke Shaw shout. Once again, proving that interested World Cup year, there's a man trying to play for my position. Luke Shaw is one of the best footballers around. From a technical standpoint, they're not much better than Luke Shaw. His first touch is imperious. He is a physical specimen. He's quick. He's genuinely a brilliant footballer when he can be asked, and he really can be asked at the moment, and it is fantastic. And he's a massive underrated shithouse, which I love to see, just constantly winding up opponents, slapping balls out of people's hands, leaving one in on, I think Mora came on, and one of the first things Shaw did was push him to the ground, and then Mora was scared of him for the rest of the time. And he's just, at one point he booted Harry Kane, like, just, you know, just Luke Shaw things. He's great, I love him.
No, and I'd also like to give a shout out to our, you know, first choice centre back partnership now, Martinez Varane, who have just grown together and look like they've been playing with each other for years and years.
The drop off to another centre back partnership after them is staggering.
Well, obviously we had Martinez Lindelof for a few games, you know, conceded a couple of awful goals to the like of Almonia, although yes, wouldn't put it necessarily totally on Lindelof, but I think there's just a kind of feeling of security you get with Varane and Martinez there, that all of a sudden if Lindelof comes in, you know, when Maguire had a few minutes over there, it's completely different. And you know, you remember at the start of this season when everybody, Jamie Carragher came out and said, I don't think a centre-back the size of Martinez can make it in the Premier League. Let's not forget, Carragher came out and clearly said that somebody that big cannot play centre-back in the Premier League, and is looking pretty bloody stupid now, basically. But, you know, they just make such a great partnership. And we saw, you know, I was afraid of that Son and Kane kind of coming out against us, especially on the break. But there was nothing. You know, one kind of chance for Kane that I think maybe was offside anyway, just before we scored our second goal.
It was.
But yeah, that was literally it. I don't even remember much else. A couple of long shots maybe from Son, but nothing much else. They were completely limited. And those two are so rock solid. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Martinez had some ridiculous stats yesterday. 100% success rate in his tackles. His joint most, one that actually with Casemiro and Luke Shaw. So yeah, they're all doing superb defensive work. Completed like 90% of his passing, not dribble past once, 4 clearances, interceptions. So yeah, absolutely brilliant to see how he settled in so quickly.
I think one of the biggest things with those two is, there was a lot of this, obviously, last year, because last year was the worst year ever. But even, like, you know, when Maguire comes in or when Lindelof comes in, it feels like, forget the, you know, what they do in possession, how long they take on the ball, all those kind of things, but there's, like, a willingness to cover for each other. And it's not even just a willingness, but an expectation. So when Varane steps up, he knows that if, you know, Kane turns him or somebody turns him, that Martinez will be there to clean up, right? And same thing the opposite way. And I just think there's already, like, there's an inherent trust between them. So it creates, like, a natural security, because they just have a natural understanding. And I'll say that, like, Varane, he's not that good in possession, but I thought yesterday he had some really good passes, progressive passes, look to play the ball forward. So, yeah, he was excellent yesterday. Martinez was excellent yesterday. And look, let's just say it. I've been the biggest De Gea hater. I thought he was really good yesterday. Yeah, he didn't have much to do, but he came off his line a few times. He even had a moment where he swept the ball, cleared it out. And his passing was excellent yesterday. Really, really good. Both short and long passing. He played a few under pressure that found his man. He played it out to the fullbacks constantly. He was really good yesterday, and you know, hopefully, like the rest of the team, this is him adjusting and developing his own game to fit into what Ten Hag is expecting and wanting us to do.
Yeah, we did mention this on the last pod. Yeah, we were surprised that at his age, De Gea does seem to still be improving on some of those areas where we have all talked about his weaknesses recently. And yeah, definitely his distribution is improving. You seem like, you know, they have gone back now sometimes on playing what I always say, I still hate it, still always worries me, the kind of ticky-tacker in the box thing where Martinez does a little pass to De Gea, he passes it out. It still always worries me that, but yesterday we managed to pull it off without any kind of problems.
Well, what I like about it as well at the moment is it's not a strict rule. De Gea can boot it if he needs to. He's not like under punishment of death if they don't pass it around the back. He knows that you can just launch it sometimes, which is fine. Also, another thing is, I think the confidence of a keeper grows when you've got, like, good defenders in front of you. And he knows he's got Varane, Martinez in front of him. They're all very comfortable with. But he can now know that he can, like, smash the ball at pretty much any of our back four, and their touch will be very good. Like, Luke Shaw's first touch is incredible. Like, at one point, he literally did just hammer the ball at Shaw, and Shaw just controlled it instantly. But you can pass it to any of them anywhere, and they'll generally control it. Dalot's very good with both his feet. He's got some flaws with his game, but technically, he's a very good footballer. So, yeah, just you know, confidence in his game, and that comes from his back four.
Brilliant. We will take a quick break there, come back to round off this game, have a quick look at Newcastle, and then look ahead to Chelsea coming up.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are back. Looks a lot less round off this great Spurs victory over here. I mean, we talked about the first goal. There was a bit of luck there for Fred, obviously. But, you know, at the same time, you can't say you make your own luck.
Listen, if you're shooting from outside the box 15, 20 times, I'm sorry, that I don't think that's lucky in the end then. If something goes in off someone, they're inviting that on themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that was the only disappointment yesterday, that we went in 0-0 at half time. I mean, I was saying this to my friend who I was with. I said, look, we've been so much on top. We've had so many chances. It'll be so like a Conte Spurs to now turn up in the second half and do us one on the break or something like that. But thankfully, it was such a brilliant time to score, at least right at the start of the second half, and just set the picture for the rest of that half. And then the second goal was just, yeah, a nice, beautiful, sublime finish from man of the match, Bruno, right? And, you know, we were talking about how many kilometres Fred and whatever put in. Bruno, actually, at 12.7, has actually did the most running of any of our players on the pitch yesterday, which is great to see. And, you know, that was a big difference. You see Bruno, Fred, absolutely running around like madman, whereas in Casemiro now is just like a bit more chill doing his thing at the back. The quality of Casemiro's kind of passing is what really stands out. As I said, with Martinez, he's still come out with kind of four great tackles. But yeah, we've mentioned it before, and I think we'll mention it for weeks and weeks. When you see the difference when, say, McTominay, still done well this season for us, had done a lot of hard kind of defensive work, but the quality on the ball, you know, from Casemiro, you see that kind of first touch passing that you will never see from somebody like McTominay. He'll often hold on to it too slow, and that kind of chance to move forward and push into the final third is just gone. But yeah, he's straight on it, picking out the right ball first time. And maybe we are now starting to see that benefit of having an understanding between Fred and Casemiro, the old Brazilian Fredemiro partnership is going really well there.
I thought you'd be all over Bruno's passing stats, actually.
No, I had mentioned it. I mean, on the last pod, that he's definitely been higher up than he was before. I don't know.
Like the 90% for this game or something.
I've not got it right in front of me, but yeah, definitely in general. He's going
93%, I think.
93% for Bruno's mental.
So do you think that is being that he has taken on board some of the criticism, or do you think this is instruction from Ten Hag to say, listen, think about it a little bit before you send it forward?
I think he's buying into trust. Like, so much of this is about trusting the system and trusting your principles, right? So it's like, okay, yes, I can try some ridiculous through ball here, but are we better served if I just play it out to Dalot and he's able to carry it into space 20 yards forward, and now we have them pinned in their defensive third? Like, it just feels like he's playing way more, the last couple of games anyway, more mature in terms of, you know, like, we've all talked about this, but there are times where it behooves you to just keep possession, right, and not try to necessarily create a chance as soon as you get it. And yesterday, I thought he did a great job of that. He wasn't trying to create chances every single time he touched the ball. And because of that, that was part of the reason why we were so dominant, because we were working together, we were working triangles, You know, we were working combinations, and I just, I this is maybe the best version of Bruno we've seen. Not the most individually brilliant, but it yesterday felt like everything he did yesterday felt very, there's no reason he can't do this every single match, right? This is not some moment of brilliance where you were like, oh wow, what a play, what a sequence, but it was just very controlled. And yeah, for him to do that, especially like you mentioned, higher up the pitch too, yeah, it says volumes about kind of him taking on board, I think, what Ten Hag is asking, not just of him, but of the entire team.
Yeah, I mean, and also, you know, Bruno did that big interview, like, what was it, a month ago or something with The Athletic, then, if anybody hasn't seen it, it's well worth having a look, it's on YouTube. And, you know, he talked about this, about how he gets stick for giving away the ball, taking too risky a pass. So he knows it's something people talk about. And he basically said that, look, that's the way I am. And, you know, as long as I kind of get my stats on goals and assists, I kind of think it's worth it. So in that way, he kind of almost was saying, I'm not going to change. That's the way I am. That's the way it's going to be. But we can see he has changed. And whether it's him deciding it, whether it's Ten Hag telling him, listen, just take a bit of a minute, second to think about it before you play that ball. I mean, yesterday, Bruno made 9 key passes. That's the most for any player in the Premier League so far this season in one match, and is more than the whole Tottenham team managed yesterday in this one game. So, yeah, loads of crazy stats for him, as I say. More running, more key passes. He's got his goal. So, yeah, absolutely worthy of that man of the match over there. But, yeah, the whole team played really well yesterday. There wasn't any one player that you could really say was letting us down. Apart from, well, I was going to say, let's get to Sancho, because we have talked about him before. I put out my kind of match lineup, as I always do on Twitter before, and I said, listen, for me, Sancho does start, but it's his last chance to show us he's worthy of being in the starting lineup. I mean, you know, he's lucky that a couple of players have been out, so he is getting that chance. But yeah, I was so disappointed with him. I mean, for that whole kind of first half, he was playing right in front of me where I'm kind of sat. And he's just too safe. Like, he's, you know, the opposite to Bruno. Never seems to take a gamble. Always just going for an easy ball back, just trying to recycle possession. Doesn't even move around enough. Also, doesn't do anywhere near the defensive work that you see someone like Antony doing on the other side. I mean, yeah, these are the kind of things that sometimes you see in the stadium that you don't see on the telly, where, like, Antony is making, like, 30-yard running back to chase down the kind of Tottenham wing-back on that side, and is just, yeah, killing it back and forth, back and forth. So, yeah, I don't know where Sancho goes from here. For me, at this point, I would give a run out to whether it's Alanga, whether it's Garnacho. I mean, they can't do any worse. And, you know, I know that Alanga does definitely do damn good defensive work for the team as well when it's needed, but I don't see how Sancho stays in this team now.
Agreed. I mean, we were on the last pod and I was slating the same player, but I mean, I think he started yesterday's game. He was losing possession 3 times in like 20 seconds. And
two of them were in our box.
Yeah, and it was just like, wake up, man. I mean, it seems like he's just constantly operating on this like half-assed, half-awake level where it's like everyone else around you is going at 100 miles per hour and you're kind of cruising. And it's like, come on, pull your finger out. And I agree with you. I think he will start against Chelsea. We know Ten Hag likes to keep a winning formula. I wouldn't mind seeing him come out. I wouldn't mind seeing like putting Bruno on that side and then shoving Eriksen where Bruno plays just to get Eriksen back into the team. But yeah, I think I'd rather see Elanga or Garnacho have a run out. And I'm not a massive Elanga fan at all, but at least Elanga will actually try to run at someone, especially on that left-hand side. He actually does like to run at people on the left-hand side as Elanga.
Is Martial, do we have any update on him? Because
Martial's dead. He's just, you know.
Passed away. Rest in peace.
He's not in training. He's not even in training yet. So, yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest thing, because I think, like, Rashford as a center forward, you're like, man, I wish he would finish some of these chances.
But to be fair, Rashford as a center forward, he was a pain in their ass yesterday. Was Rashford?
Oh no, his pressing, all that stuff was great. But it's like you get frustrated with his finishing as a center forward. Mm. I think some of those it changes when he's playing on that left wing or that inside left channel, right? He's more natural there. I think his finishing is definitely better there, and you're not. It's just totally different. So that would be the ideal. I mean, if Martial's fit, you play Rashford there, and then Sancho comes out, and now you have him as, you know, your substitute, which I think it is, that would be a great scenario. But Yeah, I think he's going to start against Chelsea. I agree that in general his defensive work isn't the best. I actually thought yesterday he was fine. I thought he pressed okay. I thought he
tracked did do
his runner
a bit more yesterday, to be fair, but yeah, still nowhere near as much as you see from, say, Antony on the other side.
Which is, but like, I'm okay with that, because if he does that, if he keeps doing that, that's like, okay, that means that he is taking on board instructions, and then you would expect him to improve in those elements. So I'm okay with that. But I agree, like, you just want to. Yesterday, he took on his defender a couple of times, and when he did, he was able to, like, successfully take them on and, you know, then find somebody to pass to. Like, his link-up play, when he does decide to take players on, is actually good. Like, he is good at that. But he just has not done it enough, and he's not. I don't know how to. You know, this is why being a manager is so hard, is I'm assuming that he would like for Sancho to be more confident and take players on and, you know, provide kind of what we thought we were getting when we bought him. But it's like, how do you get that? How do you bring that confidence out of a player? And, you know, I think for this time being, it's like, I get the idea of, like, well, Elanga will work hard, and okay, fine, but we know that Elanga, in all likelihood, is not going to make, like, the difference in the attacking third, right? And I think as a manager, you're probably willing to risk some of, okay, maybe Sancho doesn't get it together this next match, but he's always capable. Like, he's capable of creating a chance out of nothing. I mean, yesterday he fluked an assist basically out of nothing, right? Obviously,
yeah,
that's not,
he does actually have an assist to his name from yesterday, to be fair to him, yeah.
It's not the best example, but, like, okay, I mean, it was Ammonia, but he did come on against Ammonia and he did look sharp. He did create, he assisted for that goal, right, to McTominay. So it's like, that, I think, is, as a manager, ultimately, you're going to bet on that. And you're like, okay, I literally have an example of what this player can do. Now my job is to try to coax this out of him on a consistent basis. And, like, to what we're talking about, make sure that he's consistently pressing, doing the defensive work, and all these things. And I think, you know, would I ideally stick with him? No, ideally Martial would be healthy. We'd start him, Rashford moves to the left, and everything is great. That's not the world we're living in. I would still start him. I would start him next match. I think I would. I like Elanga. I like him as, like, a, you know, exactly what he did yesterday. Come out for the last 10 minutes, run around like crazy, and great, wonderful. I don't love him at the start of a match, especially not a match like away to Chelsea. I don't know. I think that's putting him in a position for the CAF to lose their mind about how Elanga will never be a good player and he's nothing and he only gets into the team because he's British. Or not even British, but he's Swedish. An academy player. Yeah, he's an academy player. But yeah, I would start Sancho. I think you have to. And I still think, like, part of this is him. He's a very specific type of player who needs, like, to be on the same wavelength. The way that we're playing now, you know, where we are starting to show the ability to get into the attacking third, pin teams deep, combine, all that kind of stuff. I really think, like, there's a chance that within the next few matches, we see kind of what we were hoping to buy from Sancho.
I'll take that bet.
I know you will.
The thing with Sancho is all his best work always comes in the box. Always. You genuinely look at him, he's very good in the box because he's good in tight spaces. Players don't want to tackle him in the box, obviously, and therefore he can do stuff. The thing is, he just doesn't get into the box. And when if he does get the ball in the box, generally he does all right, but he just doesn't do it. It's actually what I want to see more. Both of our wings actually do more. Antony needs to get into the box more as well. Antony's MO is to run full pelt inside. Full pelt to the edge of the box, then come inside. Whereas I think a few times he should actually probably try get into the box and then do some of his skills, because he could win penalties like that, because people don't want to tackle Antony. He's got too much skills. And both of them also need to attack the back post a bit more, I think.
Do you like that Antony likes to beat his man, slow down, and then beat him again?
Yeah, well, I mean, at least he's beating him. and then check back onto his left foot. I mean, I mean, a lot's been made of Antony's one-footedness. I actually don't mind it. Like, you can get away with it, but I do think he needs to vary it up a little bit. And sometimes he does need to just go on the outside. Sometimes he does need to get into the box. He can't just stop at the edge of the area, go onto his left, and then cut in.
There is a lot of players who over time have, like, you know, he was called, I think Paul Scholes said he was a one-trick pony. But if you can perfect that trick, I mean,
yeah, if you can.
Robin did this his whole career. That's all he ever did, but he just banged it in every time.
But Robin would cut inside in the box sometimes, would go into the edge of it, but then cut inside. He would cut inside, but you just don't know when he's going to do it. Anthony literally cuts inside every single time at the edge of the box. Get in the box more. Also, get in the box more when Luke Shaw's going to cross the ball, because you don't know what's going to happen at the back post.
Do you think some of that, though, is like... So, if he goes further down, right? So, because I know what you're saying. He cuts in, like, right at the top of that box so that he can get a shot off, basically.
Yeah, or across, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I think... If he cuts in deeper and then he, like, if he drives down the byline deeper and then cuts in, that's like you have to cross it in that position. And I wonder if some of that is just the fact that we have not had any targets for him in the box. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just not a lot of players to pick out from. So if you're him, you're almost like, well, why would I even continue to do this? Because when I do cut in, there's maybe one player in the box. There's
that's what I'm saying. We need to get more people in the box because both him and Sancho don't really attack the back post when the ball's on the other side. They kind of wait to recycle possession on the other side, which I kind of get because we want to keep the ball. The ball goes over the box, but you don't have to be the, and neither of them are great in the air or anything, but you don't have to be to just sneak in at the back post and score a goal. You can be tiny and just sneak in past your fullback and get a goal at the back post. Luke Shaw put in a couple of good balls in the first half to the back post area. No one was there.
He did almost, I mean, he did try to get on one and then he took it on his left foot, which really never had a chance of working. But, like, he did try to do that. But I agree. Like, both him, it's not just him and Sancho, right? It's whoever plays in those positions. Yeah, they all need to.
Which
makes
me think it's an instruction from Ten Hag to kind of sit out there and wait in case the ball comes back and then we can recycle it again. But it just means we basically, most of the time yesterday, we only had Fred and Rashford in the box. Which,
who do you think is better in the air?
What a contest.
Rashford just... But yeah, look, I guess that is the one thing Ronaldo does give you if he plays.
Oh, we're not talking about Ronaldo again. Move on.
I'm just mentioning it is the one thing that he can do, but we still don't get the ball maybe into him that enough in those matches when we need to have it there. I think the one tactical thing I wanted to give a quick mention to that now we've started to see coming through in this Ten Hag style of play is that we have our fullbacks, they kind of underlap, don't they, on the inside rather than coming on the outside of the wingers. We see both Dalot, both Shaw often ending up in more like more central, almost midfield areas. And that is quite a difference on the tactical side that we haven't seen this under our managers before. So, yeah, we're starting to see now that Ten Hag style of play come in bit by bit. And, yeah, it is making a big difference. I mean, time and time again, Anthony will be out there. Dalot's coming inside of him. Shaw isn't yet doing it as much on the other side, but he also hasn't got as much of maybe a settled partner on the left side because, yeah, it can switch between Sancho, between Rashford, somebody else coming over there. But, yeah, these are the little tweaks that we see Ten Hag is making, and I'm sure throughout the season we'll see more and more of this as it comes. You know, Casemiro as well now being more of a fixture in the team, whereas before McTominay was playing there makes a massive difference. So, yeah, step by step, Ten Hag is doing it. And I think that was one of the big messages I was hearing on the kind of tram home yesterday. I don't know about you, Imran, that everybody now is fully on the kind of Ten Hag bandwagon. You know, most people were quite happy about him coming in anyway. But now we've beaten Arsenal, we've beaten Liverpool, we beat Spurs. I think that's probably already a better top six record than we managed in the whole of last season, home and away. And it makes a huge difference. Yeah, you know, we're just outside top five now, 1 point behind Chelsea. But yeah, we cannot be any issues about what Ten Hag has done so far, right?
Yeah, well, we won three top six games last year, twice to Spurs, once to Arsenal. So it is the same. And I don't catch the tram home, Nick. I drive, so.
What I think is the best, he actually has done a good job of using the squad. Not that the squad is super deep and amazing, but like Fred didn't start for a while. Right? And now he's put him back in the starting 11. And some of that is, yes, Eriksen was ill, but like he could have gone with McTominay, but he didn't, right?
He was suspended, wasn't he?
But he wasn't suspended for this
match. Newcastle, he was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. But I'm just saying, like, he stuck with him, which I think is, like, me and you can disagree on how bad or good Fred was last match, but the consensus was he was bad, so for him to stick with him says something about him. You know, the only position he really hasn't rotated is Dalot, right? And that's because Dalot is injured. He doesn't have any backup.
Wan-Bissaka's injured, yeah.
Yeah, Wan-Bissaka's injured. Martinez hasn't come out of the side, but that's also because we just haven't had any options at center half. So he's like the one constant he keeps in. And then, you know, I think he's done a great job of like giving Shaw the kick up the ass that he needed, right? Okay, yeah, you're better than Malacia, but if you're not going to show it, then you're going to come out of the team. And I think Shaw even had a quote the other day where he talked about this, where where he's like, oh yeah, you know, if you don't play up to your ability, then, you know, the manager's not going to just keep picking you. And, you know, like, we talked about the Sancho thing. I mean, yeah, he hasn't been great, but he pulled him when he wasn't great. And now he's only back in the team because he's telling Ronaldo, like, I don't care if you're literally Ronaldo, you're not going to play if you're not buying in, if you're not doing the work that I need you to do. You know, I just think he's done a really good job of sending the right signals, using the squad as much as he can to his disposal while still getting results. And if anything, I would say that what he has done is kind of drive home exactly where we need to be addressing, you know, using our funds to address the squad in future windows. So I just think he's done a really good job considering the circumstances. And I mean, we've probably had one of the most difficult schedules in the league to this point. So to be in the position we are, all things considered, I think speaks very well on his job up to now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's another good place for us to take a quick break before we come back to round off by, yeah, quickly looking at the couple of games that happened since we last recorded and looking ahead to the Chelsea game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are back for the last section of the show. Look, I think, was there anything else either of you two wanted to mention from that Spurs game?
No, Spurs are shit.
Well, yeah. Lads, it's Spurs comes back out again. As I say, pre-match people were not confident, not looking that forward to it, but yeah, we pulled out a result and yeah, surprisingly easy.
Only one thing I want to mention is I really wish Casemiro had scored that goal because he absolutely leathered that.
That was a great technique on that. Yeah. Sat right behind
actually
it.
One of those, yeah, which is just too straight, a little bit of curl and that goes into the kind of corner.
And Lloris is just, he knows. He knows he has no chance if that's on target. It was beautiful.
But yeah, Casemiro looks pretty desperate for a goal. There's been a few kind of near shots he's had.
At some point, he's got an absolute banger of a goal.
Definitely. I mean, look, let's have a quick chat about that Newcastle game. Because, yeah, we did want to record after that, but it didn't happen for various reasons. I mean, my only big takeaway from that game was I thought we were good enough to win it. As I said, XG was not too different to this Spurs game. But yeah, VAR to me, it was a joke that day. I mean, I thought we should have had at least like two penalties. Maybe Newcastle should have had one as well.
No, they definitely should have had a penalty. They should have had. I mean,
I think that was right in front of you, wasn't it? I know, because sometimes, as I say,
opposite end. But when it happened, we all looked around and said, that's a penalty. Like, it just looked a penalty. It very obviously, I mean, it's very rare. Usually when opposition players go down the box, everyone's like, oh, get up, whatever, blah. But everyone's kind of like, ooh. Probably a penalty that, and then they didn't give it, like, yeah, bad shit. And then Sancho goes down. That did look less of a penalty to us, but I was at the other side of the ground and kind of exaggerated his fall. But then when you see it back, it's a definite penalty. But this is the problem with VAR is shit because it's made to be shit by stupid rules that make VAR shit. Instead of having, I've said this to you guys so you can tune out or whatever, but instead of having two referees referee a game, we have one referee one game, and then one referee kind of away from him referee the game, and they don't work together at all. Instead of having two referees who can talk about a game, say, oh, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? It's one referee refereeing the game and another referee thinking, well, what does he think of that decision? Is it a high bar? is it clear and obvious? I need to guess these arbitrary lines that make no sense. I need to guess what clear and obvious means. I need to guess what a high bar is, and then I can maybe give a decision or not. And it's stupid. Like, why can't we just exist in a world where the VAR referee is refereeing, watching a screen, refereeing a game, talking to the ref and thinking, you know what, that was probably a foul, that maybe you should go look at it. Then we can have a situation where referees can actually go to the monitor and make independent decisions, as opposed to, because when a referee goes to a monitor, all they're basically doing is saying, well, I've got to go with what this VAR guy says because he's refereed the game independently to me. And it makes no sense, really. Instead, you could have two guys refereeing the game together and come to with better decisions, as opposed to what we have now, which is just bullshit and ridiculous guessing of what clear and obvious means. Yeah, clear and obvious doesn't mean anything. Like, it's a complete arbitrary notion that shouldn't exist.
Yeah, I think that is the problem. Game to game, there's no consistency. You know, for me, as I said, we should have had two penalties, one on Sancho, one on Ronaldo. To be fair, yeah, Newcastle probably should have had one as well. So yeah, 2-1 in penalties missed over there. There was also that stupid situation with the kind of Ronaldo disallowed goal. I mean, to be fair, I can kind of see what the issue is there. I can see it from both sides. I mean, it is pretty clear that Newcastle kind of didn't think they had taken the free kick.
Yeah, you'd be fuming if that was against you, really. But then they were doing that kind of free kick the whole game where the keeper would just knock it to Trippier, who would run and launch it. But that wasn't quite that situation. So I was, while it's a bit funny and a bit funny to argue about it, I don't think Ronaldo should have been booked, to be fair. I don't think Ronaldo did anything wrong particularly, but yeah, it would have been a bit harsh for that to be a goal. But the referee was just poor in general. Yeah. What constituted
Nani
the booking?
Nani scored one like that once, didn't he? Against Tottenham. Spurs, it was just exactly the same kind of thing.
That was a bit nonsense as well. But yeah, the ref just, like, he had no idea of what constituted a booking and what didn't. It just changed from moment to moment. He completely ate up the time wasting. Completely bought into anytime someone went down, the guy got super excited. Like, oh, I get to stop. I get to have a rest. Like, just a terrible ref. A dreadful refereeing performance, I thought. But
yeah,
but
no, anybody who's
I don't like to blame our things on refs. And ultimately, we should have won anyway. Fred should have scored that open goal, and Rashford should definitely score that header at the end. So we have ourselves to blame at the end of the day.
Yeah, we do. And as I say, on XG, we had enough chances to win it even without the penalties. But yeah, that was the kind of annoying thing for me. And anyone who's a long-time listener of this show will know I was very anti-VAR right from day one. I think it was awful, awful in that first season. Seemed to slightly get better as they started adapting a few things around it. But again, for some reason, it seems to have gone downhill massively. And yeah, no, Imran, as you'll know, when you're in the stadium, when you don't have any replays, you don't know what's going on. It's absolutely awful just waiting there as well. I mean, I know you will often message when you're sat there saying, you know, what's going on? Because, yeah, you don't have anything to go off when you're in the stadium. I mean, I know some stadiums do put things on big screens, but at Old Trafford, there's no screens. You don't see anything. I mean, I've actually now moved my seat this summer. I'm still in, like, J-stand standing section, but I've moved my seat to the back row of it. And if I now crane my head, I can actually see the screens in the VIP boxes. So I can now watch, like, the VAR replays from my seat in the stand, which actually makes kind of a big difference if you actually have some kind of idea of what's going on. But specifically for VAR.
The frustration with VAR is that it could be good. It's just there's shit rules around it that make it be implemented terribly. Like, look, offsides were shit, right? Offsides, when they first came in, were shit because they were trying to examine, like, these minor details. And offsides are actually decent now. Now they've come up with these ideas that you can have thicker lines, and if their lines are touching, then it's on. It kind of works a bit better now. You find less people complaining about those now. It can be all right. It just, they make it shit.
The other thing, too, with this, the VAR stuff, is that it's not just about the Newcastle match, right? It's also like in the Everton match, we had a goal chalked off that shouldn't have been chalked off. And it's like, so now you're at the point where I just have no idea. You don't have any, I have no faith in us getting a VAR decision. The last one we got was an Arsenal one, which I thought was an obvious foul, which should have been given in real time. I have no idea why it wasn't. And then since then, I just think all of them have gone against us. We even had the one in Europa, right? Where I forgot what his name was, but he went in straight up, two-footed off the ground in on Casemiro. That could have been easily a broken leg or something. Luckily, it wasn't. But that was given as yellow. VAR looked at it and determined there was no reason to. So it's like, I just have no idea when VAR is good, what is the point of it, what is the standard. There's no uniformity to it. It's not done well. And there's no point in even saying, like, get rid of it, because they're not going to get rid of it. But then just do a better job with it. You know, like, I still can't believe that Rashford goal was taken off. I think you mentioned this on the last spot, Imran, but, like, nobody on Everton's team was even complaining about it. Not a single person. There was not a single person that was up with the ref, you know, demanding that, you know, oh, look at it, go look at the replay, demanding it be chalked off. So I have no clue what the standard is. I mean, if VAR had, like, even if that's the rule, right? Let's say any time it touches your hand, automatically,
we said on the same that at West Ham, it also touched two players' hands, and those goals were given in similar situations. So yeah, that's always the issue. No consistency, and they're not sure exactly what the rules are, and they keep changing it, and nobody can really keep track of where it's going.
Can they just have, like, a common sense rule? Because I think common sense would have been like, would anybody, literally, would a single person have cared if they had just given that goal? I don't think it would have been brought up. I don't think anybody would have complained. It would have been fine. Just use common sense. Can that be the rule? Is that okay? Are we allowed to just have a common sense rule? But I don't know. VAR is very frustrating. I'm happy that, I mean, who knows? We probably would have missed the penalty against Newcastle since we decided we could not score that match. But
it was just one of those games, I think, as well.
Yeah.
That was part of it. It's one of those frustrating afternoons. Newcastle set up to very much frustrate us, sit deep, time waste from the get-go. One of those days. But like I said, Fred should really score that open goal. Probably would have done against Tottenham. Been a bit up to speed in his games, and Rashford has to score that header, but he's not that great in the air, unfortunately. None of our players are very good in the air, apart from Ronaldo, and we don't want him to play, so, you know.
Yeah, that is the way it goes. But yeah, look, three games it was anyway. Three clean sheets, which is nice. We hadn't had many so far this season. And now next one we're rolling on to is Chelsea away. As I said, we just come off three home games, not conceded in any of them. But now, yeah, we go to Chelsea. It's been a crazy week. Six days, three matches, basically, this Newcastle, Tottenham, Chelsea run. And then we have a couple more matches that takes us to the end of this crazy October, which will be nine games by the time we come to it. Because then, yeah, we have home to Sheriff and West Ham to round off October. But look, this Chelsea game's coming up. We've always already talked a little bit about Sancho, whether he stays in, whether he stays out. I mean, I'm always as well worried about players' kind of freshness, fitness. I expected more rotation. Ten Hag is not rotating that much. But yeah, well, I guess when you're playing well, when results are coming, you don't want to change it that much. And then he has had some forced kind of changes on him, of course, due to players coming in and out through injury.
If we can get through Chelsea, though, he can rotate against Sheriff.
Yeah.
Sheriff at home is a match you absolutely should and be comfortable rotating, especially because at this point, we're not going to overtake Sociedad on goal difference, so we just have to beat them 2-0 at their place. We have to win by two at their place. That's the ultimate, like,
we actually have to win by two, or
yeah,
if we win 2-1, 3-2, it is actually good enough as well.
So yeah, like that's ultimately what we have to do. So I just think stick with this, Ryan. Stick with what worked. I would understand, like, bringing in Eriksen.
Yeah, that is the big question. Does Eriksen come back in this team? We just said, you both said Fred was man of the match. Fred and Miro, you know, they know each other. They're a kind of good partnership there. So, yeah, the big question. Eriksen looks like he's going to be fit. Came in for the last few minutes. I mean, he's done this a couple of times now. Ten Hag likes to bring people back slowly. Did it with Varane. Done it with Rashford. Whereas, you know, Ole used to throw in half-fit players all the time. I think it's nice to see Ten Hag gives them just a kind of 10-minute run out and then you assume he will be fit for the next game. But what, Oshwin, is Eriksen in, or are you sticking with Freddie Miro?
I would probably stick with Fred and Casemiro. Nick is a really big fan of the combined midfield names, McFred, Freddie Miro. I think I would stick with it. It was just too good of a performance that I don't know. I would understand, right, if he brings in and Eriksen, I don't think I would not lose my mind about it, but I just, it's tough. I would prefer to keep this team in. I don't think Chelsea's midfield is good. I don't think their possession play is that great out of the back. Pressing them high, to me, would be a pretty good idea, especially because Reece James is out, who is their best, like, progressor from the back. I would like to play them high. I would like to challenge them high. I think you can take the game to them a little bit. And Fred does that probably better than Eriksen does. Although there's also the argument of like Eriksen is a better player in possession. So maybe that's another way you can take the game to Chelsea proverbially. So I'll say this. I'm happy it's not my choice.
What about you, Imran?
I do feel like I wouldn't mind seeing Bruno on the left and Eriksen in the middle just to give us a bit more, just to put Eriksen on the pitch, really. But I know it's a bit of a big shift, and putting Bruno on the left isn't his best position, and Bruno just had a good game at attacking midfield. So, you know, I won't be too unhappy with whatever he does. I would keep Fred going, though, after that performance. I don't think you can take Fred out. So I definitely would keep him in. And if that means Eriksen on the bench, so be it. Come on, maybe in the second half if things aren't going our way. Because it is a tough game, Stamford Bridge. I don't think we've won there for quite a while in the league. I'm trying to think of when the last time we won. I think we've drawn a couple. And plus, my man crush, Graham Potter's there now, being all handsome after his makeover. So, you know, he can beat us twice in, what, 3 months?
Yeah, look, it is the most difficult part. As you say, we do not have a good record at Stamford Bridge. We do not have a good record against Potter. Chelsea are not in the best form. They were just 0-0 last night, weren't they?
And undefeated under Potter, though, still.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, he's doing a pretty good job. But yeah, he's still not found kind of their best team. Glad to see Reece James is out for Chelsea. Not great for England. But yeah, it will be a definite positive for us that he's not available for that game. I mean, I think Imran, maybe I'd push towards what you were saying of trying to bring Eriksen back in there and maybe then shifting Bruno out wide, especially since we're saying Sancho is not tearing up the place anyway. But maybe then, you go back to this, what we used to have often, like putting square pegs in round holes where not everybody's necessarily in their best position. You're just trying to get what you think are your best players into the team. So I'm not sure whether you stick with the kind of system, you stick with the players there. The other thing about Eriksen coming in is maybe it gives a bit of freshness. A lot of these players now have played a lot of minutes. I mean, do you think Casemiro can play three 90-minute games in 1 week? He's not fully fit. I mean, all right, he hadn't played a lot of minutes before that, so maybe he can do it. And as you say, Ushwin, there is then that opportunity to rotate against Sheriff midweek the week after. But yeah, I'd say that is his biggest decision. I mean, I would give somebody else a run out wide if... whether it's even, Alanga, just for freshness, partly, just for freshness. I mean, I don't see how you can have all these players playing that many games in a week. But I've always said this. I've always been one who expects rotation, players coming in and out, and managers seem, Ole definitely did not like to rotate. And I don't know whether Ten Hag is just doing it because it's early days or whether that's his way as well. But yeah, get a month where you're playing 9 matches, a week where you're playing 3 games. I think it's a lot to be looking at players playing and playing to their top level in all those matches. It will be interesting, especially somebody like Casemiro. You can see he is now getting used to it, but for a couple of games, you could see he was taking a bit of time to adjust to the speed, to the intensity of the Premier League. But yeah, he's looking pretty well and good in it now. But yeah, that is the biggest decision to go with. And the top four race is really hotting up now. You know, we're banging there 1 point behind Chelsea in fifth place. Newcastle are another point behind us, but have an extra game played. Liverpool are now back in the picture after a couple of wins. I don't know how you're feeling about that. I mean, Imran, you still said on the last pod you didn't think we could make top four. I'm not going to ask you every week. So yeah, I'm going to ask Ushwin. How are you feeling about top four at the moment?
I think we'll get top four. I think we're better than Chelsea. I think we're better than Liverpool. I think we are better than Spurs. So, yeah, I expect us to get top four. I'd be pretty disappointed.
We're going for third, then?
Yeah, I think I would be pretty... I would be very disappointed if we don't finish top four at this point, based on what I've seen of all these teams. I'm not impressed by Chelsea. I don't care how much Imran loves Graham Potter. They do not impress me. They have been outperforming their XG under him. They don't create chances very well, which was a problem under him with Brighton. Also, they didn't create a lot of chances, despite how beautiful and pretty all their patterns were. I think we are a better team. I think we have more talent. I think we have better balance. The biggest thing is Casemiro. If he can just stay fit, if he stays fit, then I feel very comfortable with our ability to finish top four. If he gets hurt, that is a problem.
I think the back four is a bigger problem. Varane and Martinez, I think that's more essential.
More Martinez than even Varane, because, I mean, I know Lindelof isn't ideal, right? But, like, he can play that right center back. But if Martinez goes out, he's so important to us moving the ball forward because of, you know, the balance he gives us playing that position. I think that's a bigger issue. But, like, yeah, I agree. Like, I think those two or three positions are more important than anything else. As long as we can stay, if we can stay relatively fit there, I think we're just a much better team than those three, for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, I already said last week that I was now feeling pretty confident that we should be finished in the top four somewhere. But this, yeah, Chelsea game will be absolutely vital in that one. And, you know, Imran, we said we hadn't had a draw yet this season. We said it was going to be inevitable that the Newcastle game was a draw, and it was a draw. But, yeah, going away to Chelsea, I would actually happily take a draw, even though a win, of course, takes us above them. This 2-0 win yesterday finally puts us back to a zero goal difference, by
yes!
the way.
That's usually in line for us to get hammered 5-0, so...
Yeah, you know, we'd been sat on like a minus goal difference, and it's the kind of anomaly towards the top of the table. Even like, you know, Newcastle and Liverpool below us on a like +9, +10, whereas we're still sat on zero because of that Brentford hammering and also, yeah, shipping a few goals to City. But yeah, we are finally back to zero, thankfully. So yeah, on parity at least. So yeah, let's see where we go from there. But yeah, look, we will definitely come back and record after that Chelsea game. Do want to give a shout out to our sponsors, footballprizes.co.uk. Last week they had an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer shirt and they had this kind of weird screen in there. Never seen anything like it. Greatest moments again and again. This week, there's an Erik ten Hag signed and framed shirt on offer. So head over there. I know actually Ed himself had bought a couple of tickets for it last week. He really wanted that Ole shirt. Unfortunately, he didn't get it. There's various other prizes on offer there. You can go and see. There's like cash prizes, TVs, various other stuff on offer. So yeah, go and have a look at footballprizes.co.uk. And the other cool thing is when you buy a ticket for one of these competitions, they then do the draw live on Facebook. So yeah, you can have a bit of fun watching that come out live. But yeah, use the code UH10 and you'll get a nice little discount on your ticket. But as I say, the big United prize on offer this week is an Erik ten Hag signed shirt. And there's only 99 tickets available for that. And I will say, actually, often they don't even sell all the tickets. So you have a pretty decent chance of winning one of these prizes. So, yeah, head over. footballprizes.co.uk, code UH10. And, yeah, unless either of you two have I forgotten anything major or anything like that, I think, yeah, that's it. Go on.
Just one bit of housekeeping as well. Spotify, you can now rate podcasts. So we don't ask you for much on this pod, but if you can go to Spotify and give us 5 stars, don't give us 4. Give us 5. Be generous. Give us 5 stars on Spotify, that'd be great. And in fact, wherever you get your podcast, always do rate us. It really helps us on Apple or whatever podcast thing you're using. Just give us 5 stars. But yeah, if you're listening on Spotify, if you listen to this now, go to Spotify, give us 5 stars. Thank you.
Yeah, get straight over. I think we're at 4.9 at the moment on Spotify. So yeah, thanks for all those ratings already. But if you haven't done it, head over there. And yeah, Apple is the other big one where you can rate and it does help the show out a lot in kind of rankings and stuff like that. So yeah, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, go and give us a 5-star rating right now. And yeah, that is it for now. We will be back after that Chelsea game. And yeah, let's hope we're still banging firmly in that top four race.
No predictions?
I said I'll take a draw. I'm predicting a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I'll take a 1-1 draw and a new Prime Minister.
2-1 United win.
All right, feeling bullish. Yeah, I hope, yeah, that'll get us really banging the top four. Let's hope Bush wins the right one on this. We will see on the next show. Good night for now.
United Hour is part of the Sports Social Network, edited by Imran Maher, and our theme song is by Ancient Feelings. To get in touch, please follow us on Twitter, United_Hour, or email us at unitedhour@gmail.com.
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.